Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vodcast episode number 103, which is also VCR tape number 6. Today I'm joined by the usual team of Stephen.
Hello, it's me. I'm Stephen.
And Daniel.
Buenos dias.
Okay, so for this VCR, we're going to be talking about Trauma Center Under the Knife, but we also decided that we will be talking about Trauma Center Second Opinions, because they're both kind of the same game anyway.
Pretty much.
And, yeah, they are pretty much up until the very end. And we also, I couldn't find a DS version, and I don't know why. There wasn't really a particular reason why we picked this game. I think that we could maybe really pretend that we picked it now because of the whole Ebola epidemic throughout the world.
Oh, that's so topical and relevant.
Yes, we're sorry, and we totally picked it because of that. We didn't just, you know, pick it randomly. but yeah, and it's kind of one of the only games of it's. There's not really many surgical simulators on anything besides, I guess, the surgical simulator which just came out, which isn't really a simulator, but neither's this.
There's a few on iPhone.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's like, you know, it's not a huge genre that's really well represented, so, yeah. And this was a pretty successful series, because they had like 5 games, I think, total.
Yeah, including one remake.
Yeah. So we'll jump straight into it. As with always, we'll start off with development history and stuff. So with Under the Knife, it was first announced in 2004. Atlas announced 5 titles for the Nintendo DS, including Under the Knife. Snowboard Kids DS, which turned out to be pretty bad, and Shin Megami Tensei. I don't know what that became. I don't know if it came out or not.
Well, the first one that came out would have been Devil Survivor, but that wasn't till like, oh, I want to say 6 years after the DS. Yeah, 5 or 6 years.
I think it was more of a, like, we're working on it.
Well, they did that for the 3DS as well. They said, oh, yeah, there's a Persona game coming out for it.
Yeah. So in the original listing, they said that one of those games was listed as an action title, and I put that in quotation marks, named Caduceus, which is basically became this game. In August 2004, so the next month, the game got a proper name. They called it Caduceus Surgical Operation, and they promised that it will, you know, you'll use the stylus and the microphone to, you know, help operate on people and remove parasites from the body and resuscitate people. It was a pretty...
Never once noticed.
Yeah, so I don't think that made it to the final game by the sounds of it, but...
Can you imagine screaming at your patients to just, like, scream at their diseases to make them go away?
Yeah, blow on the mic to blow these microbes away.
Don't die on me!
Give mouth to mouth. Oh, okay.
Start hitting your DS like you're trying to give it CPR. So before the game came out, Atlas really stressed that it wasn't going to really be a simulation title, but more of a surgical drama game, so similar to TV series like, say, Grey's Anatomy and House and all that jazz. But the main priority for the development team was to create a game that could be enjoyed by both squeamish people and non-squeamish people. And I think that they're kind of successful in that regard, because it's not very bloody at all. You know, the organs are very smooth and...
Everything's nice and sort of... I don't even know how to describe it. It's not realistic enough for me to have any issues with it. I sometimes get a bit squeamish with the whole people's insides
it's
thing.
It's done in a very stylized way as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was their... Abstracted. That's why they did it. So the final game, which was named Trauma Center Under the Knife here, was released June 2005 in Japan, October that year in North America, April 2006 in Europe, and then the game was rushed released to JB Hi-Fi stores without any prior notice in December 2006 in Australia. So, I mean, I remember I went through our news archives on the site, and we actually wrote a story just before Christmas saying, you know, oh, someone's classified this game and put it on shelves at JB Hi-Fi. You can go get it now.
Surprise.
So the game was super popular when it did release, and it was like, you know, it was so popular that Atlas had to, like, you know, kind of emergency commission reprints of the game because so many people wanted it, and it was really hard to get get a hold of.
Well,
I assume they just didn't.
That's Atlas's games in general. I mean, they do.
Yeah,
that.
I was just only going from what I found. So yeah, that's Under the Knife in a nutshell. And then we have Second Opinion, which is the kind of the remake. So that was first announced at E3 in 2006, and it was accidentally like announced because Atlas and Nintendo basically apparently like. That year, GameSpot were opposite Nintendo's booth or something, and on Nintendo's booth they had this giant Trauma Center poster, and nothing was announced yet, so they were like, oh, Trauma Center's coming to the revolution, because that's what it was called at the time. So there was a lot of confusion at the time, and the game was eventually confirmed to be what they called a Wiimake, which is, you know, remake and Wii, which was basically a redo of the first game with motion controls, improved visuals, and extra content. The game itself was designed and led by Tom Hewlett, who basically went on to work and ruined Silent Hill games for Konami. and They originally wanted to call it Trauma Center Relapse, and it released in Japan as Caduceus Z.
Relapse would be so edgy.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Second Opinion is probably a little bit... It makes more
Trauma
sense
Trauma Center
to me.
Remission.
So there was a lot of confusion around the time about whether the game would be new or not, but many stressed that it was a retelling of Under the Knife, and as you can probably expect, a lot of people were a little bit shitty that, you know, it was a remake rather than a brand new game. But reading through interviews and stuff, the guys working on it at Atlus were pretty adamant that there was a lot of new stuff in the game. Whereas I don't think, like, honestly, I don't think there's heaps. Like, you know, there's only, like, maybe two extra full chapters total of new content. But otherwise, it's generally a new game. They changed a lot of the titles and stuff of the patients to match, you know, famous actors who appeared in House and Grey's Anatomy and stuff like that.
Really?
And as you go... Yeah, they did.
Wow, that's so cool.
As you go on, like, you might find, I think there's a few patients with the last name Laurie, or like Hugh Laurie, or Yang, like Christina Yang from Grey's Anatomy, or they did a lot of that. And as you go on through the series, you'll notice that they really kind of become self-aware and embrace that. Like, the opening video of New Blood is very House-ish. With Second Opinion, they really wanted to do online, but they didn't really specify what they meant by that. But Nintendo refused to release their Wi-Fi connection libraries to third parties until early 2007, so Second Opinion launched without any online functionality. Which is kind of stubborn of them, I guess. But
wow, Nintendo was so weird back then.
Yeah.
Still, but now.
New Blood, which was the next Wii game, came out with online leaderboards, so I guess they got their way. So Trauma Center Second Opinion was released as a launch title for the Wii console in both America and Japan. It was released August 10th, 2007 in Europe. I don't know how long after launch that was for Europe, but in Australia they released it a whole year later on August 28th, 2008. So this is a series that doesn't really have... If you want to play it straight away, you can't, unless you import it in Australia.
So it's basically an Atlus game.
Actually, that's pretty true. Now that I think about it, like, Shin Megami Tensei 4, where is that?
Soon. You guys are getting it soon.
Anyway. So, yeah, that's the both games in a nutshell. There wasn't a lot of, like, you know, interviews with, because... I assume maybe because it's, like, you know, a Japanese-made game, there was a lot less interaction, and I've got a feeling maybe Atlus was more reserved than other developers would be in terms of, like, interacting with the media and stuff. Or there's also, you know, the internet has changed a lot since those games are out. So
yeah, that's very true.
Like, a lot of articles I found went on and one up, and, you know, that's gone now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I just remember it was impossible to find. I remember I did actually look around for it. I didn't live in a major city at the time, so it was nearly impossible to find it because you wouldn't get it at a Big W or a Target or one of those general stores. I ended up finding it probably, you know, 6 months after I actually was interested in it. I just saw it one day at a Game Traders when I was in Perth, and I just grabbed it immediately. It was just so hard to find, you had to grab it whenever you saw it.
Yeah, I mean, I picked it up at Game Traders. Like, it would have been very shortly after it came out in America, and then Game Traders in Carillion City. I must have reserved it or something, they had it in stock. I remember hearing about this game probably around about this, just before the DS came out in America, and it was just one of those games I sort of immediately latched on and followed its whole, what little information came out about it. So I was so excited about it. To play it.
It is one of those first few games, this will probably go into this in a bit more game design, but it's just one of the coolest games that it justified the DS in a really cool way.
It was, you know, a lot of stuff on the DS up until that point had been like Mario 64 DS or just, you know, ports of GBA games we could get elsewhere. This is the first time we sort of had a game that could not be played on anything else.
But yeah, we'll get into that.
So we'll go into like story and writing. Obviously, this is a game that it's very much like, you know, it's almost like a visual novel kind of drama,
like a
setup.
Visual novel with gameplay in the middle.
So, yeah, it really hinges on, you know, capturing your interest and stuff to, you know, keep you going, because that's the main... A lot of it was story compared to, like, say, the surgery. I thought, like, overall, the story was pretty good. Like, it wasn't like, you know, oh my god, like, Oscar-winning, you know, GTA 4. No. Jokes. Everyone, jokes. But, you know, it was, like, super melodramatic and stuff, but I thought, you know, the drama was high enough to kind of want me to keep playing on if my hands weren't aching.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, and, you know, like, for a game like this, that was really the best way to kind of keep things going. Like, it was, split into episodes, and each one would have, like, kind of a twist that would add to, you know...
The drama.
And, like, you know, all of the stories and stuff would always set up a surgery, and then, you know, you do the surgery, and then something else happens.
And I guess it came out at the height of the surgical drama TV genre, so it kind of played into that a little bit as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think maybe that's a lot of why it was popular here, maybe. I don't know, like, it's hard to say, but, I mean, all those shows, like, you know, no matter who you are, there's one of those shows that will appeal to you. Like, you know, I know a lot of people who watch, say, like Grey's or House or
Scrubs.
Yeah, like when I bought this game, I was just so deep in House, and this was just fantastic to have at the same time. I could live everything in hospital, in House, and in Caduceus, and in Scrubs.
Oh, it is such a shame you've never played Trauma Team. One of the characters is House.
Yeah, Trauma Team is definitely my favourite, but anyway. I think that it's the only thing that like I didn't really like about the storyline was the way that they were kind of like, you know, the Healing Touch. Like, I thought the Healing Touch was like a really cool like way to kind of implement this kind of super
or
mode Stephen into the
calls
game.
Or
Stephen
calls powers.
Yeah, well, you draw a pentagram on the person's chest. So, but, you know, that like it makes sense, and I like the way that they kind of tried to tie it into the story, so it wasn't just a gameplay mechanic.
It made it seem a little bit more than just a hey, you've got a touchscreen, you can draw things on it now.
Castlevania.
At the same time, I was kind of like, you know, it's kind of weird that they said it's because he's a descendant of Asclepius.
I didn't even notice that bit.
The god of medicine, who is not really a real person anyway, so it's like
because the senior doctor at the first hospital you sort of work at, he hints that he has it as well. I don't know, they say he has it, but he refuses to use it because of the damage it does to you or something.
He can't deal with the guilt. The capital G-U-I-L-T.
So does that mean he's related to Derek?
Yeah.
Like, are they descendants
of each other? I just always assumed he had it for reasons of plot. I wasn't
going to... if we're going as far as Greek mythology, you don't necessarily have to be the one family line to still be related to that one origin god, I guess, if we're going into... the details of, you know, Greek mythological family trees.
Yeah, but to me, like, it just raises questions about, like, you know, where the game takes place. Like, were the gods real? I don't know. Like, it is a nitpicky thing, I admit. But, like, I'm just like, why? Surely there's a better way they could have done that. Like, you know, just, they're really good surgeons. So, I don't know. I do think that, like, you know, sometimes the melodrama kind of gets a little bit too intense. The scene that really stood out to me, and I think Stephen, you picked it up as well.
Yeah,
was
there was
a scene
about.
With where this girl wanted to die, and you save her, and then after you save her, she still wants to die, and then the nurse just screams at her that maybe she should just go kill herself, or maybe she should have just died, and you know, because you know, it was like I don't think you're allowed to say that to people,
especially
like,
as like an actual nurse. It's like, this bedside manner, I think you need some improvement. It's like, she was just saying that, you know, maybe you should just go and die because there's people that are fighting for their lives and you don't want to live, but you're living, so fucking kill yourself. And it was just really
weird. Calm down a bit
weird.
There, Angie. You're a bit...
I know, I was like, oh, Angie's kind of weird. She's a bit mean sometimes, but then she was really mean and it was... Yeah, I didn't know what to make of it.
It was kind of like, I understand that they were trying to, like, you know, make her a fiery and passionate kind of person, but, you know, telling someone to maybe just die is not the best way, maybe.
Maybe.
As a doctor, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Do nurses have to make that oath thingy?
Yeah, I think they do.
The what?
Or maybe the oath where she's like, I'll help people.
I thought you meant the...
Not tell them to kill themselves.
I heard the O thingy, and I'm like, what's the O thingy?
Oh.
Her O face? Whatever.
That's for another... that's something else. The other thing that I thought we'd talk about with the story was, you know, I kind of got a gist that this game was written by people who didn't really think euthanasia was a good thing. Okay... Let me, like, clarify my position on that. Like,
we should probably mention that that's a major part of the overall story arc.
Yeah, like, you know, the way that they, like, I... Because, personally, like, I'm not 100% sure where we stand. I mean, obviously, this is such a contentious topic. We could probably have a whole podcast on this.
Let's
if
not.
We were not.
And we'd all be terribly uninformed, except James, probably.
I mean, I don't know if you guys think it's okay or if it's not. I acknowledge there's so many problems that may come with this, you know, a topic like euthanasia if that were to be legalized. But in this game, they present a really, like, you know, kind of one side of view of it all. In my the doctor who practices euthanasia is known throughout the community as the death doctor, which is just such like a negative.
Sounds like it's something from Today Tonight.
That's Tyler, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, to me, the way that, you know, Derek kind of shows Tyler why it's a bad thing to do and stuff is, you know, kind of really, like, to me, it's probably, I think it's the deepest theme kind of touched upon in the game. I mean, they kind of, in terms of, like, you know, controversy, like, I think the other themes they touch upon are a little bit more, you know, clear-cut, you know.
And I thought it was touched on, it was a little bit shallow, because, like, with that same example you're talking about before, where the girl who wanted to die, it's sort of, then Derek saves her, and Derek's the, you know, a good upholding the law person, and then afterwards she's like, oh, well, actually, now I'm glad I lived, I'm glad that death didn't kill me. And it just seemed like a, I don't know, a little bit of a shallow way to say, oh, even though, you know, this whole euthanasia thing, it might have seemed good at one point, they're going to regret it afterwards.
I mean, it was obviously, like, you know, a, like a, like a side story kind of.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, all I can remember is just the whole euthanasia part was just the Tyler Chase stuff, and then, I mean, maybe the story was changed a bit for the Wii version, because I only played the DS, but, you know, that happened, you saved your sister, and then it wasn't really mentioned again. Like, a few bits, Tyler's like, oh, I'll never be as good as you because of the way I am, but other than that, it wasn't referenced after, the whole bit with Tyler's sister.
I mean, I wouldn't want them to, you know, dwell upon it, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Especially when you've got a deep story about biochemical viruses.
Alien cancer?
Yeah. Zombie cancer? It's like a, and that's the other thing, like, you know, the big theme with this story, I thought, was, you know, the idea of, you know, how far should we go in, you know, curing our illnesses and shit, like, you know, and, I mean, I don't know if you guys, in the Wii version, they touch upon it a lot more at the end, where, you know, they kind of, they've taken this this evil virus, which in itself is so implausible, but it doesn't matter. And
most
they
of the
kind
human
of
race would have been knocked out by this virus if it had been real.
Yeah, they like twist this virus to, you know, be a regenerative or whatever, and people can live forever, or people can, you know, cure cancer and stuff like that, which is going to be, which if we can do that is good, but obviously in this they have to have the drama, so it doesn't work out well. It's very like almost like Resident Evil-y, where, you know, it starts off with, you know, trying to create something that will improve the human race, but then it just becomes,
does it? I mean, something. I got the impression that guilt was created just to kill people. I mean, the
yeah, it was, but in the Wii version, like, the last chapter is completely different, and that chapter talks about how, you know, Caduceus has taken guilt and modified it to try and improve the health of people, and then
we
obviously
should probably clarify that guilt is just like a the main, I guess,
antagonist
of the game, just for anyone who's not familiar.
For people who don't know, yeah, guilt is like, it stands for like ganglionated something, something, something.
Ganglionated eutrophin immunolatency toxin.
Yeah, so
we just wanted this to spell guilt.
Yeah.
it's a manufactured sickness, I guess, is the best way to say it.
It's basically your boss battles.
Yeah. So basically, Caduceus, they take that and they try to modify it and make it, you know, beneficial to humans. But obviously the people who have worked with guilt, like Derek and the new chick, Naomi.
Nozomi?
They both are like, oh, this is not going to go well. Like, it's still guilt. But yeah, so that's the general gist. So, like, as I said, you know, it's kind of, and as, like, the story itself is really ridden with cliches, like, I kind of thought, you know, the idea of having this remote African village that's being experimented on has been done to death so much in, you know, these kinds of stories, as is, you know, the idea of specially engineered
biohazards.
And, you know, terrorist groups motivated by, you know, delusional, like, god complexes, and it's just, like, so over the top.
Seen this before a little bit. Not that it really mattered, but yeah, if you were really trying to be, I guess, either critical or just, you know, thinking about it, you're like, yeah, this has been done a couple times before at least.
And I mean, like, with the, you know, the terrorist group who is behind it all, the Delphi people, they're just like, I question how many people who become doctors would think this way. Like, these people, for people who haven't played it, like, the people who run this Delphi thing, they're kind of motivated by the idea that humans have kind of sinned a lot and they want to, like, cleanse the world of the sins by killing off the people who, you know, have sinned.
It's
just
a,
like,
super fundamentalist sort of, yeah, it's kind of, it does have a bit of an, I guess, an analog to, you know, what people see, you know, current terror things, you know, as people who are fundamentalist of whatever religion and, you know, will do whatever they need to do. It's all, yeah, very mindful of current events, I guess.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just done to death. And,
yeah.
I don't really buy the motivations of the people. But then I do hear that, like, apparently a lot of serial killers and, you know, crazy people are doctors. Which is, you know,
next
kind
stuff.
Of worrying.
Well, how's medical school?
Well, it is stressful, I guess. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow. I mean, it's a usual, you know, Atlus do good stories, but they're also very silly and over the top anyway. And I think, I mean, if you're a fan of Atlus games, you just sort of take that as that's how it's going to be. It's going to be, there's going to be lots of stupid cliches, but it's going to be a fun, enjoyable story. And I mean, they do, a lot of them do touch on some really deep subjects, but they do it in a very lighthearted way.
I mean, yeah, you've definitely got it right. Like Persona, I haven't played that many Atlus, Persona, but yeah, 3, like Persona games, they touch on things. Or... Yeah.
It's, yeah.
They touch on it, but they don't go too deep into it so as to alienate people.
Catherine. I mean, yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, Catherine.
I mean, you know, honestly, it's weird. I mean, I only finished it a few days ago, and the story really hasn't stuck with me that much. Like, I mean, it was more just from a gameplay point of view that I really, really enjoyed it.
Yes, and I think that I agree with that. But we will go to a quick break and we'll come back to talk about the gameplay itself. And we're back. So we will talk about the game design, which is usually the most meatiest part of each of these podcasts.
Literally, because you're cutting human flesh. That's like meat.
Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic.
Anyway, so the game mechanics itself. I think that the surgeries are kind of interesting, but the biggest thing that stuck out to me, I don't know if you guys agree, is they could have done more with them. I kind of thought, you know, in terms of the basic surgeries, like not the guilt ones, They a lot of them would just rip, take glass out, sew thing closed, cut tumor out.
Yeah,
take tumor
didn't
off.
Didn't really scratch the surface of what you could have done.
I mean, there's so many kinds of operations you can do. You know,
who was telling me in New Blood you do like a heart transplant or something?
No. In Second Opinion, okay. Can do a kidney transplant, and that was a really like, you know, I was like, wow. And it's so obvious that with Second Opinion, we'll talk about the differences later on. But it's so obvious that they really went back to the drawing board and were like, well, what can we do to make this more interesting for the new operations, which are it's the extra chapter. And one of them is a kidney transplant, where, you know, you have to cut the blood supply off from the old kidney by injecting the veins or whatever with constrictor. That's the easiest way to describe it. Take the kidney out, put the new one in, attach the new veins to the right spot, and then, you know, it's rub it to get it going, and then, yeah. You've got a new kidney.
I mean, yeah. It's weird by the end when you get to all these wacky, crazy operations, and you're like, I miss just, I would have been happy if it had have just been, you know, even had just been padding it, just, you know, a couple extra chapters of just normal doctor stuff of like, you know.
Yeah, but do you think, like,
endlessly would be just, I don't want to keep doing the same thing. I really liked how, like, it's sort of, just as a basic thing, you start off, you know, you've got a couple of things you got to balance. I found the most challenging part of it was you have to balance the patient's vitals, and you can use some magical vital fixing syringe fluid to fix that if you need to. But you had the patient's vitals, which was a bar, and then you could, you know, every action that you did would, you know, affect their vitals in some way, and you'd have to, you know, use all your various tools to perform surgery. And it was I kind of liked how you'd started off with basic stuff, and each one, it seemed a little bit samey, but it added a little bit extra to the whole formula. And it's just sort of every new operation just built something new that you didn't know how to deal with, and you kind of had to learn on the fly or fail a couple times like I did a lot and just sort of work it out eventually. And liked the stress that it ended up building up.
It becomes like a game of I forgot what I was going to say.
Operation.
But like you're just trying to manage your time and just like you're trying to pay attention to several different things at the same time while concentrating on one thing. I mean, like, you need to be aware of where the heart rate is, and you need to make sure, okay, that tumor's not going to burst before I've finished cleaning up this one to stop the heart rate going down more.
Exactly. There was a lot of, and a lot of it was more puzzly than I thought it would be. There was a certain few, there was one where you had to remove, I think they were tumors. I kind of got a little bit lost in all the terminology. I don't know what the various bits and pieces ended up being. They were just little blobs with veins on them. You had to chop them all out at the same. You had to chop them all out at the same time. Otherwise, if there was one left for a certain amount of time, it would regrow all the rest.
And oh, I know.
It was something. The treaty guild is one I hated. I was like raging about it every time. Every time I came to it, I would just healing touch, rip them all out as quick as I could, and just get it done.
Yeah,
that's
the way I found to beat it.
I hated it sometimes, but once I sort of... It didn't straight up say... Well, it did kind of say you have to get them all out, otherwise I'll grow back, but it didn't occur to me to sort of, you know, mostly chop all of them out and then just do the final step on all of them at the same time. It was a little bit of a... a bit of a puzzle element that I didn't expect and I kind of liked.
I've always looked at this as more of a puzzle game than anything else. They do just feel like just puzzles that... I mean, you have a set tools that you need to try and solve this puzzle. There's usually only one or two ways you can do it. And you need to figure out how the best way to proceed.
If you had to describe the mechanics to someone, it'd sound like the most boring thing. It's like, it's a puzzle time management simulator. It's like, I'll go and play a shooter instead. But no, it's really, really fun.
The only thing, like, you know, obviously, I mean, this is because, you know, I've seen a lot of operations, is, you know, a lot of the stuff that you do in this game, like, you would kind of have an anaesthetist on the side organizing all that for you so you can focus on the surgery. Like, they would never get a doctor to do everything at once because, you know, otherwise, you know, that would be it. They'd be dead.
You just have a nurse screaming at you. That's all you have in this
game. Yeah, just one nurse, one doctor, that's
it. Second opinion, single player, isn't it? Because I remember someone saying in like a review for it, and it's multiplayer because you just get your partner to hold the nunchuck, and then they can be like the nurse giving you instruments. Whereas your
actually an interview with Tom Hewlett, who is, you know, the one who, you know,
ruined Silent
constantly
Hill.
Made excuses for his team with Silent Hill. So he obviously has been doing it for a while. You know, he said, you know, it doesn't have multiplayer, but you can just hand your nunchuck to someone else, and they can be like the nurse handing you the stuff. And
it's kind
know,
of cool.
Kind of a good
it's
idea.
Really not,
really.
Though, like if it would maybe be kind of cool if the other person had their own separate Wii remote and had to, or you know, had their DS and they had to pass it to you or something. But literally having one control stick to push in a different direction is not a fun thing to do.
Yeah, like, it'd be boring as.
That's like worse than the have your pointer over the star bits. Like,
I
that's
do
better.
Think. I think in terms of like difficulty and stuff, this game is kind of. I mean, I feel like it kind of gets. It's got an even curve.
Yeah.
You know, like it. It slowly builds itself up. There are definitely some spikes here and there, like, especially the ones where you've got to, like, take care of five patients in a row, or...
Oh, yes.
Did you manage doing all five, or did you just get three?
Five, because I thought you had to, so every time I fucked up one, I would just, like, you know, restart, because I couldn't be bothered, I just wanted to get it done.
Yeah. It's a good...
I found myself just wishing for checkpoints. There were so many where... there were a few where you had to operate on, you know, one part of the body, then you... out, then you operate again on the lungs or something, and it was just like I could do the first part perfectly, but then I screw up on the second, and I have to keep redoing the entire thing from scratch. I was just wanting a checkpoint so badly.
I know, because some of them are like 10 minutes.
I just, like, I mean, that's probably all you know, a part of, you know, a lot of games will do that where you know have to be on edge for an extended period of time, and it just makes you stressed out as all anything. Oh. And it's really exciting when you do finish it, usually, unless you scream and fail at the end of it. But it's, I think, I don't know, I would have liked to play it on an emulator and got a save state sometimes, but maybe that's,
you know,
a
it's like
cheating.
With the final guilt,
Savato.
The spider. Yeah, I mean, you know what, it's hard as hell, but when you finish it, once you've beaten it, the feeling of accomplishment is like, it feels like a real, you know, like a... I mean, the feeling of accomplishment I get is the same as I would get playing like a really hard boss in a Metroid Prime, because it is... a pretty full-on challenge.
I so want
yeah,
to say
no,
Dark Souls.
I agree. And it's like, and that last boss battle was freaking ridiculous.
How'd you get through it in the end? Did you?
I didn't use the healing touch until the very end.
I mean, that you can't. That's the only way you can sort of do it. I mean,
no, you can. I don't know if this is a glitch or not, because I used it early on, and then I got to the end, and I couldn't slow it down, so I don't know if that was a glitch or something. Because you know how you can only use healing touch one time per...
Yeah.
Operation. I use it early on, and obviously at the very end you're meant to use it to save.
Because then you've got to have two. Because it just automatically does one, and then you need to have a second one to make just everything stop. I mean, I found the best way through it was just to ignore the little tiny mites going around and just concentrate on killing the big thing.
It's all about priorities.
Yeah.
It's like working out what needs
to
be done right now,
yeah.
And what
it's
can...
a juggling. Like if you've got that giant, you know, seeping gash. That's draining their vitals faster than if it wasn't. You know, you'd sew that up quickly and then quickly get back to whatever you were doing, you know? I think... I mean, speaking of sewing up, like, you know, what did you guys find there were tools that felt good to use?
Laser.
Like, I'll give you my example. Like, my best one is, like, in the Wii version. I think the best one, I mean, it sounds pretty basic, but it's... I think it's a good, you know, kind of attention to detail, is the forceps. Like, you have to grab them with two fingers to,
yes,
like, the normal button and the trigger to pull stuff out. And to me, that was really realistic. Whereas, say, on the DS, I found the syringe kind of felt more realistic because you were drawing the fluid up into the syringe, then pushing it in. Whereas on the Wii, it's just press a button, press a button, press a button, press a button. Like, it's not as...
Yeah, having the actual pinching motion on the forceps, you know, it's really, really abstracted, but it gives you some sort of, you know, it relates some way to the actual activity that's happening on screen, and it kind of feels good in that way.
I found sutures to be a bit finicky on the 3DS, because sometimes I thought, I'm sure I got that all the way, and then it just wouldn't recognize.
Never, yeah, it took me a long time to work out what constituted, you know, what I needed to do with sutures to be able to get a cool rating versus an okay, whether it was, you know, whether you have them evenly spaced or if there's few, you know, as few as possible crosses, or what actually got you the better ratings. I ended up sort of just giving up and doing what worked.
I think, like, overall, like, towards the end, it got to the point where I would just, you know, grab my stitches, scribble shit all over just to try and get it done, go back to, you know, syringe him back up to good vitals or whatever, scribble over
surgeon.
Everything else, yeah, like, and then, you know, I would get, you know, there was
this
that
Frankenstein
like
monster
Instagram.
Of a person comes out just covered in stitches. Heal him,
yeah.
He's better.
Yeah. There was a photo I posted on Instagram where, you know, I literally just was being as ridiculous as I could, and I still got S. I don't know what happened, but I was good. I think that, you know, all the tools themselves have their own purpose. I can't really think of any tool in that game that wasn't used heaps.
I really like...
They were all kind of used equally.
I know it's a simple one, but I really liked the gel. I don't know why, it just felt like, oh, this saves me from everything.
I know, yeah. It's like the Omni Gel in Mass Effect. You just rub it on everything, and, you know, everything's cured. It's
so any cut, you just put the gel on it. If it's got, you know, if it's got any infection, put some gel on it. If you've got cancer, put some gel on it.
Yeah, it just and yeah, we need that gel.
We do
right now.
Get on that, James.
I think, like, you know, all up, the game itself is very much a, because it's kind of, it's a very much like an arcade kind of scoring. You know, it's a heavy emphasis on scoring and rank in terms of the actual gameplay itself, and I feel like that was, you know, exacerbated with New Blood, which had online leaderboards, so, you know, you could actually, you would all be trying to do it the quickest way, the most efficient way, and the most accurate way. Like, it's kind of has that good it balance between the three factors, you know, get you a good score.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you didn't have to go for a good score if you just wanted to actually, you know, if you weren't terribly good at it and you know, were struggling just to finish it, that was fine. You could get a, you know, a C score and, you know, you're not going to cry about it. But if you, you know, you finish the game and you want to go through it again, you feel like you're a master surgeon now, then suddenly you can go back through and try for the S ranks, and it would be fantastic. It'd sort of make it a different way of playing.
I mean,
almost.
It's a bit of an old school arcade score chase sort of thing. It's like, you always think, oh, I can always just get a little bit better if I just try a bit faster or do things differently.
Yeah.
For sure. And, you know, and the thing is, this is where I think Under the Knife and Second Opinion both differ a lot, which is a good segue, I guess, to talk about the Wii version versus the DS version. So in the Wii version, Second Opinion, it has a chain system, which basically means the more good things you do in a row, the better your score will be at the end, obviously, because, you know, it just keeps compounding.
It's like a multiplier, almost.
Yeah, kind of. And then, you know, on top of that, they have a system where, you know, say 10 tumours excised under 30 seconds, you'll get bonus points for doing that. Or, you know, less than 5 diverticulosis is formed, you get.
Or how many cools
that.
You get.
Yeah, so all of those are, you know, in the Wii version, I believe. And I don't think they're in the DS version, is that
correct? Do they have all those little cool extra bonus conditions where you get score, like, you know, excised 3 tumours in a row in 30 seconds, stuff like that?
None of that. It's just because apparently the Wii U version, the Wii version has chaining and all that, whereas the DS just has if you miss a move or if you do well. Doesn't really have any extra objectives. It's just
really accuracy over, you know, any special conditions.
Yeah, accuracy and speed.
So what do you think would be the better system?
I guess it would be. I can see there'd be more potential in having, like, you know, here's what you need to do to basically do it. But hey, this guy's also got some other stuff wrong with him. So if you want to fix it up while you're in here, go for it. I think that sounds cool. Yeah, just having little extra objectives here and there.
It's something that adds to, you know, gives you more different ways to play if you want to, you know, go for that high score. There are special strategies you can use to increase your score, and it might be a different way to what you've played before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys think that this game would play better with a stylus or with the pointer controls of the Wii? Like, having played
I'm really not sure. Like, I found myself with the pointer. It might be because I sat a fair way away from my TV because my land room, you know, is a long distance between my couch and my TV. But I found it really hard to be accurate with the Wii remote, or at least like to have straight lines when you're making the first incision and stuff. It seemed to be fairly lenient with getting good ratings if I was a little bit jittery, but I feel like some things would be a bit more accurate with a actual touching it and having the friction of the screen underneath you as opposed to just waving a wand in the air.
The only Wii one I've played is Trauma Team, and I mean, I found the controls a lot better in that compared to the DS one, whereas the DS one things just, I don't know, it just, maybe just because the Wii one was a lot easier, or they've had, like, you know, probably 6-8 years of making the game at that point to sort of figure out how to make these games play a lot better. But I felt the Wii controls are better, but the DS ones are probably a bit more precise. Although I was always worried about cutting my DS screen up.
I think overall I would prefer the Wii version, just because the DS with its, you know, relatively tiny little screen, it'd be kind of hard to do, you know, little precise motions on it, and changing the tools looks a little bit more.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Changing the tools on the Wii is just, you know, just with the analog stick. Whereas I found a lot of time I lost was just trying to figure out which was to go to the right tool on the DS.
Hmm.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, it's not really gameplay-wise, but I couldn't go to the DS art style. I really like how it looks on the Wii.
Yeah, which we will touch on later. Oh. In terms of like the Wii editions, the biggest one I would say for the Wii version would be the defibrillator tool, which to me was really poorly done. I read an interview with, once again, Tom Hewlett, who apparently really lobbied to get this included in the game. But to me, it's really shit. I hate things on the Wii where you have to push the remote toward the screen and hold it. Like, it doesn't really work as well as it should.
I liked the general idea of, you know, having that bar. It has a bar that goes from sort of left to right, and you have to tap B Z at the right time. I liked that timing part of it, but actually activating it by getting the Wii remote and nunchuck in the right angle and pushing them, I just found myself flailing them around until it worked, and then holding them in a weird position that was hard to, like, hold my arms in.
And that, to me, reminds me of, you know, the bomb disarming mission, removing the pins and putting them in.
That, have we?
Yeah, I mean, for people who don't know, there's a mission where you got to disarm a bomb.
Of course, because that's what doctors apparently do.
Yeah, they have their scalpels on them at all times, and they can use them to unscrew bomb casing, but anyway. But in the Wii version, you have to pull the pin out, push it back in, and it just doesn't work. Like, it's not as accurate as you want it to be. So the many times when I would just drop the pin or something and the bomb would explode, everyone dies. You know?
I mean, it's fine, that kind of thing for, like, Metroid Prime 3, how it has the, you know, you're pushing the lever in to open a door. That's not a time-sensitive thing, but here, where every millisecond has to be carefully managed and you have to be, you know, doing something at every moment, if you screw up using the defibrillator, it can, you know, be the difference between
life and
failure
death.
And success. And God, that was not my favorite part of this game.
Did the how did the Wii version do the mission where you're on the plane? Did it do anything special with that, or is it just
the Wii version? The plane mission, basically, you had turbulence. Yeah. If you were doing anything when turbulence hit in, it would just create a giant laceration.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it's the same.
Huh.
So basically, the other two tools that they included in the Wii version were the pen light and the flash camera. They were both only used in one mission, and that was it. You never saw them again. I don't know if you remember it or not, Stephen. But basically, you know, you're out in the dark, someone's crashed, you need to save them, but there's no light.
Lucky you have a pen light.
Yeah, you have a pen light on you, so you have to grab the pen light, move it to the right X section, do your surgery, move it to the next area, do your surgery. And then, obviously, the pen light runs out of battery, because, you know, this is a medical drama. And then you get a flash camera, because it turns out he's a photographer who's following you.
Of course.
So you basically turn the camera on, it flashes, you have about 2-3 seconds of light, you have to quickly get as much done as you can, do the flash again, get as much done as you can, do the flash again, you know.
That's kind of a cool idea. It would have been good just
It is. It's a fantastic idea. Like, I like that. Like the kidney transplant, it's another one of those things where they really thought about how they could make this more interesting and more intense. But, you know, I kind of wish they could have used that a few more times, like, later on in the game. Obviously, the Zed campaign is the newest inclusion for the Wii version as well. You play as Nozomi Weaver, which is the worst, you know. Her real name is Naomi, but Nozomi is apparently a good cover name. I don't know why.
Of course, it's very, you know, no one's going to notice that. It's a perfectly normal
name.
Yeah,
and she provides, like, an alternative perspective to the story, and you play through her chapters, and then they both converge into another final chapter. And obviously the quick switch of the tools and the instruments, which is, you know, as I think is much better than the DS version based on what Daniel's been saying. The other thing that I was going to mention was, so Daniel, when you played Chapter 6, did you say that was all taking on board a freighter or something?
Yeah, it was all just on board the boat. Yeah. I mean, that they find that it was just basically a huge boss rush.
And they found Adam.
Yeah, they found Adam at the end, which was a bit vague if that really happened or if they were just hallucinating because the magic guilt was airborne or whatever. But yeah, I mean, you're saying before that. I can't even remember if they even hinted at the possibility of using the guilt to reverse engineer for other stuff.
Yeah, so basically, in the Wii version, and this is why I asked you this, because in the Wii version, when you finish Chapter 5, it basically plays you this montage of images and then text that kind of catches you up as if you've missed something. And then, you know, it says, you know, so Derek and Angie traveled to this freighter, they found Adam, the leader of Delphi, whatever, and then, you know, this all happened. And then after that, it starts the proper Chapter 6 in the Wii version, and I was like, what the hell? And then I remember reading this interview with the Tom Hewlett, and he said, you know, they were going to do a completely new Chapter 6 to, you know, tie it in with Naomi. So they basically, you know, really gloss over your Chapter 6 that you play in the DS campaign.
Oh, okay.
And then they introduce their Chapter 6, which is like a further conclusion to the story, because obviously they take Adam's body and put it in storage. For anyone who doesn't know, Adam is the leader of the terrorist group.
Because it's always someone called Adam, himself, isn't it? It's like, you know, the whole, we have to go back to the Adam and Eve from, like,
the biblical shit. Yeah, I love, like, it.
Always Adam.
Yeah, it's kind of Atlas-y thing to do. I kind of liked, and I did, I enjoyed the last chapter. I thought, you know, it kind of had more of a real world kind of basis in terms of, you know, the whole idea of, you know, man versus science, man versus nature kind of set up. And, you know, they kind of did a bit more with Adam and him infecting himself and stuff. But yeah, I think that generally speaking, the Wii version feels more complete as a story.
Yeah.
And it's less ambiguous. Like you said, there's kind of this kind of thing where they're like, did this happen or not?
Yeah, I mean, the DS one, I mean, yeah, it is seriously just going for a boat. You do flashbacks to everyone going, it's like, good luck, you know, let's wrap up my storyline. And everyone talking about Angie's dad, because it gets revealed he sort of helped make all the guilt. And then you save these 6 kids, and Derek talks about getting more and more tired, and then confrontation with Adam, which nothing really happens anyway.
But yeah, I appreciate what the new things they added to the Wii version, I guess. And I think that just before we move on, we'll talk about, you know, the guilt battles, which are, you know, they're not a sickness, they're just like, they're more like, I mean, I don't want to say aliens, but they're pretty much
aliens.
They behave like aliens, but they're basically, you know, little parasites that all have different, like, functions, and they're more involved than, say, the typical, you know, remove glass from this patient's heart, or, you know, resuscitate this person's...
It's because they fight back as well. If you sort of do stuff wrong, it will really screw you over.
Yeah, and I think that's, like, you know, that was the point where, you know, I was kind of like, how can they sustain this for 5 more chapters? Like, I was kind of getting bored of the normal surgeries, and then they introduced all the different kinds of guilt. Some of them have you know, injecting certain things into them so that you can excise them, while others, you know, like Stephen was mentioning, you know, duplicate themselves if you don't remove them in the right way, because that's
How do you say it?
Is it Tritty? It's Greek, I should know, but it's...
That was one of the hardest ones to... Because, I mean...
I hated it, that's why I just had to brute force your way through it.
Like, you know, healing touch, just remove it as quick as possible. Apparently, there's a trick to... You've got to try and force it to just move up into a corner where it can't really spread out any further, but I couldn't figure out how to do it.
There's definitely a way to do it without healing touch, because you can get, like, a really good rank to if you do it without healing touch, but I just couldn't. Maybe Stephen was smart enough to work it out, but I wasn't.
I got very close without healing touch, and then they just all freaked out at me, and I just couldn't deal with it, so
like,
I just...
Like, if you stuff it up once, that's it. Do you know what I mean? Like, that, they just spread.
But I liked how all of the guild that I can remember, they were super difficult, and they didn't give you much in the way of leeway, but they were predictable in what they did generally. It was usually, if you screwed up, you could see what you could have done differently. It was just a matter of, you know, getting good enough at it to actually be able to do that reliably, you know, for 10 minutes consistently.
Oh, it's like Savato. It took me probably 10 attempts, but each time I could just say, you know, if I had have done this little bit here differently or hadn't have been too impatient, I would have gotten it.
And I think that's just like the core of good boss design is just having it so you know what you could do a little bit differently next time to be just that little bit better.
I think I just would have liked it more if there had been more normal stuff in between those boss battles.
I know what you mean, but then at the same time, in terms of the story, that wouldn't really make sense. Like, oh, we're here at, you know, the World Health Organization combating these bioterrorists, but let's go and help this person who fell over on the street.
They have the flu. Please prescribe.
I understand what you mean. But at the same time, I also think the game didn't really need any more padding towards the end. So,
I mean, you know, it took me probably 6.5 hours to finish the DS version. And I mean, that felt just right, I guess.
Mine was much longer, but I think I might have left the game sitting there a bit more. But it was at least 7 to 10 hours between that. Mm. But yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it, generally.
Was there any extra guilt stuff in the Wii version?
No, they're all the same guilt. They might have changed the order, maybe. I don't know. Did you have to do the one where you have to go look for the antigens from the different places?
I think so. It's all sort of blurring together.
Okay, so that, I think that pretty much wraps up what we can talk about for game design. We'll take a quick break and we'll return to talk about the game's presentation. And we're back, so in case you've forgotten, we are talking about Trauma Center, Under the Knife, and Second Opinion, and we're onto the game's presentation. So we'll talk about, I think we'll start off with the characters themselves, how they look and stuff. I think that the characters are pretty well defined in terms of, you know, they all fill the roles that they fill and their personalities and stuff. Generally, they are believable as characters, you know, like I would believe that these people would be doctors.
They were sometimes a little bit exaggerated, but that's kind of the game in general was a bit like that.
Again,
they weren't
Atlas.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't to the point of disliking it or anything. It was just, you know, these characters are a bit more interesting because of their exaggerated personalities sometimes.
I mean, like, as I said, you know, with New Blood, they kind of really went with, you know, there was the nurse girl, like, the Angie in the New Blood, she's this, like, nurse, Eleanor or something, and she always has wet hair and she's wearing like lingerie underneath her lab coat.
Why?
And it's like so unnecessary. Like it just doesn't look right. I'm sure it isn't. Maybe I'm remembering it differently. But
maybe
she definitely
there's
didn't.
A very specific story well, like, reason you know, for this. Maybe her. It's a gift from her mother who died years ago, and she needs to remember her mother at all times.
James in Trauma Team. I mean, what one of them's wearing a kimono pretty much all the time. Another one.
Yeah,
the rapid response nurse. Doctor is pretty much wearing, like, you know, bicycle shorts and a really short jacket.
Because she's always on the go. That's why. And, you know, the girl who wears the kimono, even her, like, her laparoscopic equipment is also, you know, covered in lacquered bamboo because she's obviously Japanese. Like, it's so ridiculous.
You know what, when you're talking about the bomb defusal, that just reminded me of in Trauma Team, where you have to save someone trapped in some air ducts using your amazing endoscopy skills. How does that apply?
It doesn't even make sense, but anyway.
Video games.
I think that the characters themselves are, like, you know, kind of voiced pretty well, and, you know, they give a good performance, but, I mean, this is a game where, you know, it's very, the voice work is very minimal. Mm.
Yeah, it was just enough to, you know, you knew what the characters sounded like, and you got a little bit of an insight into their personality by what they sounded like when they, you know, did little voice clips at the start of surgeries, or if they... You could use their voices as a little bit of a cue if, you know, oh, their vitals are dropping. Oops, I wasn't looking at that. But yeah, it was good. It was not enough to annoy me.
And I think that, you know, it's... The only thing that I'm disappointed about in terms of presentation with this game is, you know, and especially coming from the DS version where they kind of knew that this was the same deal, it's much easier to kind of get into the story and resonate with the characters if they speak. in this kind of game, and they kind of did that with New Blood. Every single character has voice dialogue, and that to me makes it much more of a dramatic experience.
Okay.
I mean, even you know, you just get Trauma Team.
I can't remember if Trauma Team.
I'm pretty
does
sure
that
it does because
well.
I remember all the Naomi stuff was, you know, that was all talked out, and that was pretty full on as well.
Yeah. I mean, I still followed this story pretty well. But I found that I was reading a lot of it in my own voice. So it's that's a, like a personal thing. Like I do that a lot. Like I find it easy to get into something.
You put yourself as the character.
You don't characterize people. You have no imagination, basically.
No. Okay.
So you're not putting on a silly female voice in your head whenever Angie's talking.
No.
Dr. Styles.
I actually remember years ago when I played Apollo Justice, I made a conscious effort to give Apollo and Phoenix different voices in my head, so I just didn't read them in the same head because I was so used to Phoenix the whole time. But yeah, that didn't work.
I mean, yeah, most people probably do that with reading anyway. They don't usually read it in someone else's voice.
Until, like, for example, like Harry Potter, like, I see the movie and then I read it in their voices. It's kind of bad, but it's
once the character's established in your mind, it's kind of hard to think of them as anything else.
Yeah. So, in terms of, like, the soundtrack with this game, I think it's pretty good.
I loved it.
Captures like, it.
It captures gets you feel. Tense when you need to be. It's, you know, the downtime sort of, like, it feels like, you know, very TV doctor show stuff when you're just sort of talking.
Like, even you know, the at the beginning of all the operations, it's kind of this, like, it's got this urgency to it, the music, but at the same time, it's got this mystery to it. Like, you don't know what you're going to find when you open up a person. I think that, and especially, like, say, it's stuff like the final boss, which has, like, this very, like, epic kind of orchestral, operatic theme. It's just like, you know, feels like, you know, this is it. This is the end.
Climax.
Like, yeah, it's really well done, I think. And I think
the moment I turned on the game, I just noticed the music was really, it sounded very much like Persona music. And I went in, did a bit of research and found that it actually was the same composer that did, you know, most of the recent Persona games. And that just made me really happy. All the music was fantastic.
I think that a lot of the art, especially in Trauma Team, you can tell the artist is the same as well.
Yeah, definitely. The actual character art for the characters looked, well, character art for the characters. But yeah, it looked so very Persona-like. I've become a recent Persona nut, and it really made me happy.
And I think, like, speaking of character art, like, do you guys think, I mean, for anyone who doesn't know, the DS version has different, very different
it's
art
styles.
It's
more anime, sort of, like, inspired.
Yeah, and I think that I can't remember, but in Under the Knife 2, is it the same, or is it different?
From what little I looked at with Under Knife 2, it was more with the mature look the Wii version had.
Yeah, so basically the DS version, obviously I guess they decided they don't want to go with that look anymore, because every game onwards uses a more mature look. But the DS version has, you know, a kind of a cutesy, I would say like a doll, almost doll-looking art style.
I think looking at the difference in art styles, the DS one, it's got lots of, you know, heavy, bold lines, very heavily defined characters, and it's, I feel like it probably would be, a symptom of the low resolution of the DS screen. If you took the, you know, the Wii version has a lot more, I guess, small, intricate details of the characters, and so it's not as big and bold in every way, and if you tried to put that onto a DS screen, you'd lose a lot of the small details because there's resolution.
It works well in Under the Knife 2, though, because, I mean, Under Knife 2 is a lot more like the Wii versions in presentation style, and it works
well. Yeah,
fine.
But, like, what Steven's saying, I think, is you can, moving that, the art style of the DS version up won't look as good, but the version of the Wii can go down or up, like DS or Wii, and it will still look good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to actually have a look at Under the Knife too, because I haven't seen that. But yeah, it just looks like, yeah, the Wii version looks as though it kind of takes advantage more of the fact that you have a bigger screen to, you know, to look at the smaller details with. But yes, I really like the Wii version.
I think generally the game looks quite good. It could look better, and if anyone has played New Blood, they'll see exactly what I mean. Like, this was a game, you know, like as Daniel was saying before we started recording, the DS game was a launch title, more or less. The Wii one was a launch title for Wii, even though it kind of improved on the first game. It still looks kind of basic. And if you do go to New Blood after this, which is made, you know, it's got widescreen resolution, it's made for Wii, and Trauma Team, obviously, it just looks much better. Like, they put a lot more effort into it. And it kind of makes me sad that we might not see another one. But that kind of leads us into, you know, the final segment, which is the future for the series. Would you guys like to see another Trauma Center game?
Yes.
I've had very little interest or just sort of general interest in the actual franchise itself up until playing this again for the podcast, and I want more. I like it.
I think, yeah, like, I mean, as I said, I mean, I don't think it's going to be, it could be like a game that they could release on the eShop, like Ace Attorney 5. You know, it's not got a huge following, but it could be do well within, you know, a small market.
I think the big problem it's going to have is that I couldn't see a new Trauma Center on the DS.
What about the Wii
U?
Yeah,
the Wii U, I could easily, but then the Wii U doesn't really have the installed user base, I guess, for it. I mean, they would be.
You know what does have the user base and the high resolution and the touchscreen? iPad. I would be okay with an iPad Trauma Team.
I mean, there is, like, you know, there is something similar on the iPad. It's called like Amateur Surgeon. It's made by Adult Swim Games, and it's a bit more tongue in cheek.
I don't know. I just really like I like lots of things about the Trauma Center series, and I don't think Amateur Surgeon quite captures that.
I just mean,
but yeah, I
mean,
I'd love
think
it.
That this could do really well on like a Wii U. Like, for example, you could maybe. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a way
I could just happily play that on the gamepad and not worry about anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the new Canvas Curse is pretty much like. You basically play it on the gamepad and have some extra information on the top screen, so you could do the same thing.
I mean, they could even put this on Virtual Console, really.
Oh, yeah.
if they wanted to for DS, because, I mean, Brain Training worked. I do think that, you know, as we've said already, like, it kind of...
I don't think we will see another one, though. That's the...
Yeah, I don't think we will either. I think that Atlus, considering what state they're in, they're really focusing on their huge hit sellers, like, say, Persona and Shin Megami Tensei. But they did say, I did find a quote from an interview in 2008 where they said that, you know, New Blood sold to their expectations. I don't know if that means,
I think,
like,
Trauma
know,
Team,
we thought it would sell shit and
I think
it did,
Trauma
or
Team
we are happy.
Didn't perform well, though, from what I can gather, which is a shame because Trauma Team is the best Trauma Center game. Because, I mean, for those who don't know, Trauma Team, instead of just playing one doctor, you're playing as six, and each of those doctors specifies in a different field.
Specializes.
That's the word. So, I mean, you've got, like, your normal doctor, your Derek Stiles, this sort of doctor who does all the normal stuff, and then you've got, like, this one who does rapid response stuff, so she's always out trying to just get quick fixes for people so they can get into the hospital.
First response. You mean, like, paramedic, basically.
You've got endoscopy, which is kind of a pain in the ass, I guess.
God damn it.
And you've got the guy who fixes bones... But then you've got these other two, which are sort of almost latent, maybe Ace Attorney-ish, James?
Yeah, I mean, okay, the other two, you've got a diagnostician, so it's basically like House. You interview the patients, you speak to them.
Go off them.
It's lupus.
You read, and the thing that I love about the diagnostician part is, you know, it's very similar to, I would say, being a doctor. Like, you've got to, not only do you have to listen to what the person is saying, but you've got to read between the lines of what they're saying, because sometimes they might be hiding symptoms from you by accident or on purpose. So you can, and then you go onto your computer because you've got, it's the future, so you've got this weird, like, assistant, like Jarvis from Iron Man.
Ask Siri.
And, you know, you kind of drag symptoms all over the place. And, you know, and then it gives you a list of diseases, you match up the disease with what else they've been saying, and you know what I mean? Like, it's this kind of really good kind of logic puzzle kind of setup.
And then you got
where, you know, you have to
Naomi stuff.
Differentially diagnose certain illnesses. And then the other one is Naomi, who's the character in Second Opinion, and she can't operate anymore because she's got some genetic affliction. Now she's like a coroner / crime scene investigator. So a lot of you know, she'll go to an area and, you know, you have to kind of put the evidence together and work out what happened to these people, how they died and stuff like that. And a lot of them were pretty pretty, you know, standard, but a lot of them were pretty dark for
if you
this
think
kind
the whole
game,
the girl wanting to kill herself, Stephen, was dark. You've seen nothing. I mean, the stuff that Trauma Team does is just like, Jesus Christ. I couldn't believe they did that.
I have to say, I am really, really happy that there's three entirely new Trauma Center games that I haven't played, and I have so much new to play. It's going to be so great.
Yeah, I would definitely like, I mean, just to close up this section now, I would like, you know, Second Opinion is really good as a starting base, but I do think that maybe you could probably get away with skipping it and playing New Blood, Trauma Team, and Under the Knife 2, because those three are the newest games. Under the Knife 2 provides an experience that's largely the same as this game, but it's more modern, and it stands up a little bit better. But this is still a good, really good game, too.
I mean, the games also do sort of... They do play off each other, like... Derek
that's
is referenced...
Though, there is story.
Naomi is in Trauma Team. Derek is referenced... a couple of times. Trauma Center 2 is a direct sequel. Do they pop up at all in New Blood?
New Blood takes place after Under the Knife
but
2.
They don't get referenced at all, or...?
A little bit, but it's not... I mean, I can't remember 100% because it's been so long. But yeah, I'm not 100% sure. But yeah. They're all really good games. It's a really good series, and I do recommend playing it. And, you know, like Steven, playing it today has really made me want to go back and play New Blood and Trauma Team, because I played Under the Knife 2 pretty recent. Well, not recently, but I played it to death, so I kind of over that one. But the other two, you know, are really good games. Trauma Team was, you know, kind of a result of them realizing they kind of have to go back to the drawing board. And, you know, and because of that, you know, they...
It worked.
It works really well, and it's one of the most underrated games. I kind of wish we did that game now.
We can always do that for a fifth one. But the thing I want to get on with Trauma Team is, you know, I said six different doctors, and the game starts out, you can just play them in any order. The storylines don't really touch each other at all, but then it gets...
Until the end,
then you're sort of like, all of these doctors come together, and it's just... it's beautiful, the game. It's, you know,
so it's like that episode of The Simpsons.
I would easily put it in my top five Wii games. It's just... so well done.
That is Trauma Center Under the Knife / Trauma Center New
Second Opinion.
New Opinion. Second Opinion. Opinion Blood.
Opinion Team.
We will go to a quick break and we'll return just to do some housekeeping and wrap up the episode. So on the site itself, we've basically had a few reviews, a lot of eShop stuff, a lot of normal stuff, but nothing really major. Stick It to the Man on the Wii U eShop, the review is up now. Another World 20th Anniversary Edition, which I believe is an old school kind of adventure game. That's also up, also available on the Wii U eShop. And Squid's Odyssey, which is on the Wii U and 3DS eShop, and I believe if you buy the 3DS version, you get the Wii U for free. It works one way, but it doesn't work the other way, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Does anyone know which way it works?
3DS. Because the 3DS one...
Listen to last week's podcast.
The 3DS one
last
came
episode.
Out last. So yeah, the 3DS one you buy, and you get the Wii U version, but not the other way around. The review of Etrian Odyssey, that's new as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Retail games next.
Sorry.
And then we've got reviews for Etrian Odyssey Untold, The Millennium Girl for 3DS, as well as one that just went up yesterday, or a few days ago, when you guys hear this, LEGO Ninjago Ninjroids, which is basically just another LEGO game, so, you know, adjust expectations accordingly. In terms of the podcast itself, the next episode will be going up on the 27th of August, and that will be a new kind of episode, but not really. It's going to be a traditional episode. It's going to be like a traditional episode, so we'll go through all the news as we do. Plus, we'll be, instead of picking a game to, a new release to discuss, we'll be doing what we call team picks, because a lot of you said that you didn't mind hearing what we were playing during weeks when we didn't, you know, have a new release to talk about. So each of us will have a game that we've played. Whatever we're playing, we'll just be talking about that. So we call them team picks episodes, and that will be hitting on the 27th of August.
We're talking about so many retro games.
Yeah. on the 14th of September, we'll have our next VCR, and that one will be focusing on No More Heroes, which is, you know, the Wii game developed by Grasshopper, published by Ubisoft, and it is an action title, I guess you could call it. I'm sure everyone knows what it is. I hope everyone knows what it is. And then on the 24th of September, we'll have another traditional episode, and it'll be our first new release for how many months? I don't know. And it will be Hyrule Warriors and Theatre Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call. So just to recap, 27th of August, Team Picks, which is all the games that we've been playing. The 14th of September, we'll be doing another VCR on No More Heroes. And the 24th of September, we'll be doing Hyrule Warriors and Theatre Rhythm Curtain.
And that could all change if Shovel Knight surprises us.
Yes, obviously, yeah, things are subject to change if anything happens. I don't know what else to say. thank you for tuning in once again. As always, you know, you can visit us on Facebook or on Twitter, as well as the website itself, which is www.vooks.net. It's like books, but with a V.
We're on Instagram as well.
And we're more active on Instagram now. The Instagram is books.net, spelled, you know, VOOKSDOTNET. As well as leave us a review on iTunes, because even if it's a good review or a bad review, please leave it, because it lets us become, I guess, more visible on iTunes and also, you know, gives us valuable feedback. So, yes, that's it for another fortnight, and we will see you on the 27th of August.
Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.